Bloomsbury presents The Mysteries, written by Marissa Silver, read by Tavia Gilbert. 1. They are running. There is no reason to go slow. They run out of Miggy's bedroom, down the stairs, through the living room, skipping over the albums that lie scattered across the floor. Miggy nimbly avoids Brubeck, Evans, and Monk, but she wants to crush them, too. To hear the satisfying snap of the records under her keds, to feel the momentary pulse of destruction. No, her mind says. Why not? Because no, her mother would say sharply. Jean's reactions are one part anger and two parts fear. The fault between those feelings align Miggy's senses in the quaver of misgiving that passes across her mother's face when she wants to reprimand her daughter. It is a line Miggy can't resist treading, the same way she must trouble a loose tooth, the sharp pain and dull tickle equally irresistible. Please, no, her father would say, his sigh the signal that he's already excused her. Julian, whose eyes always look sorry, whose hands are always jammed in the front pockets of his blue jeans, his shoulders hunched the way a tall man's must to make him feel part of a shorter world. A punishment would gather in the following silent, inscrutable stillness, the unspoken battle her parents wage when it comes to their only child. Miggy, skin and bones, hair perpetually in a tangle, knees stained with bruises from her fervent and intemperate play. "Who are you?" her mother asks, after Miggy shatters the back window of the station wagon with a rock, or draws a butterfly on the living room rug. Because a rock, so dense in the hand, must be flung, and a magic marker, its tip as wet as a dog's nose, must draw. "I am Miggy," she says. But of course her mother knows who she is. The words mother and father don't exist without the word Miggy. She is the reason for them. "I am Miggy," she declares now, as she dances around the albums, imagining them as lily pads, imagining herself as a fairy so light she can land on the water between the pads and not drown. Or maybe the albums are the water and the spaces between are leaves the size of elephant feet, because everything is always itself and the inside out of itself. A shirt, a lie, vomit, a dream.
"I am Ellen,"
Ellen says, more quietly. Because this is not her house. These are not her father's records. Those are not her parents' empty tumblers sitting on the coffee table, where water rings and cigarette burn marks are branded into the wood. Miggy digs the lemon twists out of the glasses and hands one to her friend.
"These are our drinks now, la-di-da,"
she says, sucking the boozy sweetness out of the rind. Just like her parents do after they put her to bed each night. Alone in her room, Miggy hears the muted wail of a horn or the scribble-scrabble of a piano, though what she listens for is the rhythmic bass rumble that emerges from the woods behind the house at exactly the hour when her parents are paying no attention to her and she is unsafe and alone. This is the roar of the terrible monster who lives among the trees and who is desperate to satisfy its nighttime hunger with a squirrel or an opossum or a 7-year-old girl named Margaret Ann Brenneman, who makes no sound, who barely breathes, who is certain that she will be snatched out of her bed and dragged into the terrifying maw of darkness. Ellen bites into her rind with tentative, mousy nips, excited by Miggy's daring. So many things she gets to do at the Brenneman house are forbidden at her own. The distance between Maplewood and Webster Groves, not one of miles, but of allowed and not allowed. If Olga, her family's housekeeper, could see her now, she would say, "Nana, drink is not for little girls. Nana, don't run in the house. Shh, your mother, she needs her rest."
"We're so drunk,"
Miggy exclaims.
"We're out of our minds."
They wobble. They spin in dizzy circles. They flop down onto the purple couch, a color so subversive to Ellen that merely sitting there feels like an exciting transgression. Popping to their feet once more, they careen into the kitchen, past Miggy's mother,